What's the law of negotiation gravity in reference to endings? Dennis De Palma. I love this because I miss this is like an MBA class, and I miss my MBA class because I always cold call them. So, that's why I do the cold calls. Dennis, what do you got? What's our law of negotiation gravity that governs endings of communications?
Always leave them in a better place and make them feel good.
I like that. You said it better than I would have. I would have said the last impression is the lasting impression. Therefore, you should always leave them in a better place and make them feel good. What should you do based on that? So nice. Yeah, good move. Always. And what's a hack for that?
I'll always be positive.
That's good. I like that too. That's a hard thing to do. I will tell you personally, my hack for that is I find myself frequently in the dialogue of my head saying, "Hey, it's good to hear see you," at the beginning. Typically what I'm gonna end up wanting to saying at the beginning to grease the skids for the conversation is exactly what I should be saying at the end in my thought pattern. And that is often how I will do it. I'll find myself writing an email, and what I say at the beginning, I'll just cut and paste and put it at the end. So, but always be positive. It's a good one. Alan, you got a hand, brother.
Yeah, hey, I had to use this week. I've been trying to get into my new office in Phoenix, and I can't get the keys. I can't get the lease. Their system is down, COVID, whatever. So I sent them the 5-sentence email and got the keys that day.
The homework, nice. Was well done. All right, so walk us through. What'd you send?
So
I'm gonna huff and puff and blow your house down if I don't get my keys.
that's what I was doing. No, not really, but so I just wrote it, just said, "Hello, Brooke. I admit it. I am high maintenance. When can we move into the office? I'm sorry to be such a fuss. I know you're worried about getting the paperwork done prior so you don't get reprimanded. I hope your week is going well so far. Have a great day."
Wow. See that, and that last line, I mean, that my initial instinct would be I would open the email with, "I hope your week is going well so far." And you just take it and put it at the end. Nice. Nice and
Yes,
concise.
and so the reason we in the class last week you talked about even get a sniff of what the problem is. Well, the property manager lady, I'm dealing with two people. She said, "Well, Brooke's a little concerned about getting the paperwork done before you move in." So I already knew that, and so that's why I put that line in there. I know you're worried about getting the paperwork and prior, not so you don't get reprimanded.
Nice. Dude, you're Brand, he's hovering. He's in high easily now, huh? That guy's rocking and rolling. Nice job by
That's
Alan.
there's there are so many things about that I like, and specifically to your point, that last line, there was something about the situation that was negative for your counterpart that you knew to be fact, and you didn't try to shy away with it from it by like, "You're probably nervous about getting reprimanded." No, I know you're nervous, right? This is your instincts were to skip over, "You might think," "You probably think," "I would imagine," "You might even," and went right in for the jugular. "I know this is a problem for you." And I don't know if you could have phrased that particular sentence any better than you did. And so really, really, really excited about that. "I know I'm high maintenance," right? Like that's fantastic stuff. And then the last piece I'll add in, and I may have made reference to this last week, and this is not a detriment to you, Alan. I think that's all great, but just kind of an added piece for the group. Everything we do in negotiation is predicated on not sounding like the last jerk that they spoke to. That's one of the biggest reasons we use a tactical empathy approach, because they're being dealt with differently than they probably ever have been before. So that automatically gives us a leg up. So in the spirit of that, in the sign-off, the signature portion of your email, expand beyond sincerely or best regards, right? Experiment with it. I like to use the word humbly a lot, especially when I know I'm asking somebody for something that they got to probably bend over backwards to give me. I'll use humbly instead of like best regards. I'll put the very best regards. Like I just, you know, those little things that just make the email stand out just that much more. And then based on the situation, that will sometimes dictate the end of my email. You know, it might simply be respectfully sometimes. The email might be somewhat of a joke, right? The guy that drives you nuts, Brandon, right? It might, you know, it all depends on the situation. So feel free to play with the signature a little bit too. It's just one little 2 millimeter shift that makes you stand out that much more.
Go ahead, Roger. What you got, bro?
Okay, Professor. So for me, I sent a LinkedIn message versus an email because the person I wanted to reach out to, I didn't have their email address. But I'll just kind of, I'll read it to you. So the context of it is, so I am on, so I'm like the social media guy for a virtual community, like a Salesforce community event that we're putting together. And we're trying to put something together where it's a little bit more fun. So we're trying to get like a mixologist to come in and, you know, because who doesn't like to have a drink and those kinds of things. So I reached out to a guy that I know, he's an acquaintance that works at Tito's Vodka here in Texas. So seeing if he can kind of like hook us up with a mixologist from Tito's. So the message goes, hey, Jerry, you may be incredibly busy right now, and you're probably wondering why I'm reaching out to you since we haven't seen each other in so long. I'm not sure if you know, but I'm on the volunteer staff that runs Texas Streaming. We obviously aren't going to have an in-person event this year, but we're really trying hard to put together a fun virtual event for the community in July. Would it be completely ridiculous to ask if Tito's could help us out by providing a mixologist for our social/networking happy hour? Then the following day, Jerry responds, hi, Roger, great to hear from you. I know I personally updated our sponsorship record with a checkbox for virtual events, so I will check with our event coordinator to see what that implies. Never mind the public forum. Can you please email me as much detail as you can to jmarkham at Tito's Vodka, and I will get right on it. Then a couple other things. I followed up with the email, sent him that, and he told me, he responded back to me, said he'd forward on to their events coordinator, and, you know, well, and if there's anything, if I have any further questions, to reach out.
Nice. And you got a quick response. Cool, man. I mean, that no warranted question pitching your ask at the end. That's a great way. Nice work. Brand, I can see the wheels turning. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I, again, a lot of things I like about that. I imagine you got this exact response you're looking for. You can reach out to him directly, and he wants to field all that stuff himself. There's the only critique that I have on this one, and it's just simply because I got a pet peeve for it, because I had a mentor of mine that drilled it into my head. One of the best ways to get out of the habit of dropping a but into conversation is to be very specific about taking it out of your writing. Right, if we're mentally working on eliminating but when we write stuff, then that usually quickly translates to how we verbally communicate. And so in this context, for all intents and purposes, it's probably harmless. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it's a habit we all have where we want to drop buts into our writing and when we speak. And occasionally we inadvertently drop a butt in that's really detrimental to us. And it's a complete accident because it's just a habit. And the reality is, but is a filler word that doesn't need to take up space in the universe we occupy. And so I'm not sure if you know, I am the coordinator of the event. But is completely unnecessary there. And so that's the only critique that I have, right? And I think a lot of you have heard the mentor that told me, you never want to put your butt in somebody else's face, right? And that's always like just stuck in my mind. And so that's the only critique. But again, it's not really much of a critique because in this instance, it didn't do any damage at all. And you got exactly what you were looking for. And it's still a great message. And I love the fact you did it on LinkedIn too. Add a little variety here. I dropped this in on a social media medium here and it worked great. So nice job, man. Nice job.
Thank you. I had to go back. I didn't even notice I put a button. Sorry.
No problem, man. My ears are sensitive to it. It's one of those things.
Well, Brandon, you like saying that phrase. You know, anytime you get somebody catching a butt, you want to say your phrase. Never put your butt in somebody's face.
That's what it is. I'm trying to create the visualization with the metaphor. I get a kick out of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple more things about the way I like Roger handled with this. Eliminating our pet peeves. Like, so we hate the guy that we haven't heard from for 2 years, and he starts out with, "Hey, how are you? How are the kids? Oh, by the way." You know, I heard somebody call that the "oh, by the way." And you know that baby's coming. So first of all, you guys getting out of that, because that guy that we haven't heard from 10 years got an ask, and they start with this flowery language, which you know there's something coming. So you guys are giving yourself a competitive advantage by not doing that. Now, here's the other thing that I've found too. Personal observation. Ain't nothing wrong with it being 10, 20 years for a first time you reached out for somebody with an ask. That's gonna happen. If you're a busy, successful person, that's gonna happen. And I like the way Roger handled this perfectly by deactivating that negative up front. And I find myself doing that all the time. I used to hate people I hadn't heard from 10 years and they reach out for me with an ask. I'm like, yeah, I ain't heard. But now I'm like, look, this happens. And I will tell you, in many cases when I do that, I start out an email. I'm just going to seem like another one of these jerks. So you haven't heard from for 10 years. And the first time you hear from them, they got an ask. I got an ask. Boom, now we're off to the races. I mean, you guys are finding yourself in that position, and it's okay. Because you're legitimate business people, and if you got an ask of somebody, if they collaborate with you, it's gonna benefit them. So you're doing them a favor by understanding the human nature, amygdala reaction, deactivate, and bringing them an opportunity to collaborate with you. You're going to have that over and over and over again. I love the way Roger handled it. And that's how you continue to distinguish yourself from the other people in the world that are doing the "oh, by the ways." How the kids, how the dogs, you know, "oh, by the way." Keep yourself out of that "oh, by the way" thing. Nice work, Roger. You guys are entitled to move the world forward with your success. You are going to find yourself in this position. This is how you navigate it and collaborate with people and move everybody forward. Nice work, Roger. Nice job. Good job getting stuff done. This is why we want you guys to learn this stuff. All right. And